Welcome to Recovery Soul Food, an audio and video podcast dedicated to helping those in a recovery and or rediscovery process awaken to their highest potential of mind, body, and spirit. Through powerful testimonies, new thought techniques, and alternative healing modalities, our mission is to help you embrace your life's journey, transmute your pain into purpose, and experience your life through the perception of your divine mind. I'm Reverend LC, creator and host of Recovery Soul Food, and it is my honor to walk with you through your healing process and into your divine transformations. In this space, the word recovery is defined as a healing process and is not specific to addiction and substance recovery. Therefore, there are no requirements for your participation here, just a longing for deeper inner standing. Today, we welcome Gregorio Lewis to the show. He is a certified peer support specialist. He is a celebrated author of at least three that I know of, amazing higher mind recovery and mental health workbooks. He is the creator of the Sanity is a Full-Time Job website, and he truly has survived the impossible. So warriors, if you all are ready to get into this amazing episode, we are too, so let's go. Welcome, Gregorio. Thank you so much for being here, man. It's super honor to finally be doing this with you. How are you today, man?
I'm pretty happy to be here with you too, and especially after seeing that totally cool introduction. I felt the emotion come out through my tears and my eyes because I really needed that. So
awesome!
I'm actually much better now than I was 2 minutes ago. So.
I'm so glad, man. I'm so glad. I'm glad we finally are getting to do this. I believe in divine timing, and you and I have been really trying to get this done now for a few months, and, you know, life steps in the way sometimes, so I just must, you know, extend to you that my warmest welcomes to have you here and to be in this space with you. I got your books, and you know, I ordered all three of them, and I just can't tell you. You know, going through these books, I just believe had I had something like this, and I'm just going to show them to the audience right now. You know, we got the Craig Lewis Guide to Surviving the Impossible here. We got the original Peer Support Recovery and Coping Skills Workbook and Curriculum. And my newest favorite, The Better Days, a Mental Health and Recovery Workbook. Man, I want to tell you, if I would have had one of these workbooks in my very early recovery process, I just can't imagine how much quicker self-awareness would have become a staple in my life. And so I guess before we even talk much about all this, we need to kind of know what brought you to such an awareness that you could write material like this.
The book you're holding in your hand was conjured up from within the depths of hell, which was my life. And I say that with the most sincerest and literal application of these words, because the Better Days Workbook was an internship project when I first went to school in 2006 to become a certified peer specialist in Massachusetts. And throughout the process of my journey as part of my internship and then moving forward and working, I created this curriculum for peer support groups. The entire time, drugged heavily for mental health conditions we now know I never had, meaning that I took the psychiatric poisons for 28 years. And then
Wow.
in, well, let's just say long after this book was published, we found out that I was drugged intentionally to silence me
Wow.
about my childhood, what I survived as an abuse survivor with my parents.
Wow.
And this book was actually the vehicle of me helping myself heal from the very things that were forced upon me via the psychiatrization and the stigmatization and the labeling of me as a sick person, and me trying desperately to find a way to help myself out because no one would listen to me, and I was trapped in a mental prison that no one could see. And that book that you're holding in your hand that you just showed us is the result of me volunteering for several years after my internship project, and not knowing that I was actually sick because of the treatment I was given, not because of any other reason. And it was part of my journey of liberation, because the fact that that book existed, and it is quite remarkable, like you stated a couple minutes back, to help people do that introspection. It was born out of the fire that was raging inside me. And well, now it's in your hands as well. So that's the story.
Outstanding. That's amazing, though. To move into a place of self-awareness and to be able to do that while inside of your own prison is in and of itself a gift. Now, to recognize it as a gift comes inside this material, which to me is a remarkable, remarkable.
Thank you. One comment about what you just stated. It is a gift for sure. It's a gift that not everybody appreciates that I have.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and let's just say to your point about how does this, like, this gift is a gift. It's actually a remarkable thing I created, and the whole entire story and circumstance around it is unusual and strange, and it's the result of unusual and strange things, harmful things that have resulted in a good thing, is that I remember that, and I know I'm not really told the story, and frankly, I don't really like my story. My survivor story sucks. I'm gonna say this. I can't stand being a survivor. I'm so sick and tired of being a
Right.
survivor. I'm so sick and tired of like having to heal and all this crap. And
Yeah.
so, but like, this is part of my story, right? I'm so tired of being that person. I need to
I'm
change.
with
I
you.
need to change right now, like right in this moment. So,
We all do.
anyways, the last time I met with the psychiatrist who took me off all the psychiatric drugs that I took for 28 years, I said to her, Dr. So and so, usually when someone sits in your office and they say to you what I'm about to say, you say, "Okay, sir, sit down and relax. I'm just going to make a phone call, and then a bunch of guys with white jackets and some other unpleasant items come and get you." I said, "But I don't think that's going to happen today." So she said, "What is it?" I said, and this is right after I started taking medication, I said, "I know things about other people that I shouldn't know. And I definitely know that that's weird. And my question for you, Dr. So and so, is that, is it possible that throughout the 28 years of me being drugged for conditions I never had, and the fact that I created this as my own tool to get myself out, because this book actually helped me, because
Wow.
it didn't make sense to people. How did this kid do this?" But it did. I said, "Is it possible that I developed alternate sets of neural pathways in addition to the neural pathways that we all like use like from birth, right? Because I was forced to, because I had no choice. They drugged me into submission. I couldn't function." And that's what happened. And she said, "Well, Mr. Lewis, We psychiatrists don't do research on these sort of things, but you're fine. Get out of here and don't come back. And that was the last time I ever saw that psychiatrist. And that was
Wow.
2015.
Wow. Wow. Well, number one, congratulations for making it out of your own hell. You and I had talked a little bit before. You know, my wife went through that very same thing, and it wasn't until she had a very adverse physical reaction in January of 2020 that she too said, "Wait a minute." And I know her story is nothing like your story because you were actually in there involuntarily, and you feel free here to only share what you want or not share about that at all. We don't it's that's all you. This is a safe space. But I watched what she went through in gaining her life and her true sanity back from that over medication, that submission that you spoke about. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be sitting here with you right now because I know how
Thank
hard that
you.
was.
You know, my wife, first, I have one question. I live in Mexico now, so I speak Spanish most all the time, and I don't speak Spanish well. So when I speak in English, I swear, like, constantly, I swear. It's like every other word. So I
You're
always have to,
safe.
okay, there you go.
You're safe here.
I can
You can
swear in
swear.
Spanish. Yeah, I can swear in Spanish too, but like, it takes time to learn how to do this.
You're doing great.
It was not easy to do this. My parents told me that if I didn't stop talking about what happened to me as a child and like the drugging and the abuse, that I wouldn't have a family. So that happened, and I haven't had a family in a long time. So I've been on my own for a long time after, you know, finding out that I was a child abuse survivor, and that in fact this sort of child abuse isn't the kind of child abuse anyone wants to help you with, because it's in conflict with the paradigm that mental health care is something that we should all be investing in, especially in these current maddening days that we live in, with everyone's
Yes.
shooting everybody. And it's like, I don't even know what to say, but my story wasn't welcome. So all of a sudden, here I am, the re recovery. I'm walking it, I'm talking it, I'm living it. But your story's not okay, because it's not supposed to be, you're not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
We gave you a diagnosis, you called, we gave you a mental health diagnosis, we gave you the treatment and all this, and then you became a peer specialist and a mental health worker. You're not supposed to do all this. This isn't what we want. We didn't give you a job and train you to be a mental health worker to tell people your truth, which is in conflict with the paradigm that we all subscribe to for our paychecks.
Absolutely.
So, they made it very hard for me. When I say they, I mean like everyone. So,
I can imagine.
I want to say hello to the psychiatrist and staff at Bournemouth Hospital and Brookline, Massachusetts, for locking me up for 7 days against my will on a fraudulent doctored admission slip. And I want to thank the judge who got me out of there. And that was the first time they tried to get me.
Wow.
I escaped that torture. But the second time I escaped the psych hold in New York City, just imagine this fist right here with the middle finger up. That's to you guys, because I swear to God, when I knew it, they were trying to lock me up, I was like, uh-oh, I'm not putting the Johnny on. I know what's going on here. I pulled my old peer specialist, D Department of Mental Health, identification card from the fucking Department of Health in Boston, Massachusetts, who screwed me in the first place. Now you have it. And I
Wow.
walked out of that hospital with my lanyard around my neck. And then they had a red alert,
Wow.
but they didn't catch me. So that's my story. And that's what happens
Wow.
when you tell the truth about
Yes.
recovery, mental health, the whole system. And you're correct. True healing begins within. And
Yes.
I have a lot of people who don't like me. I mean, you see how I am. I clearly don't give a flying, you know what, about people who don't like me. But like, I'm a good person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was be abused. Sorry. All I did was like is get myself out of that abuse in the most difficult way possible. And all I did was talk about it, because they say, if you talk about what happened to you, then you can be more understood. And if you don't talk about the traumas within you, it becomes you and you become sick. Mm. So I basically saved myself from a system that's ostensibly that exists to save me from myself, but I had to save myself from them, and then I had to become this. And the process of getting to today, living here in Mexico in a beautiful mountain town, seven years, like almost 8 years, I guess, I don't know, since I stopped all this, all the pills, and I lost my job because of the system doesn't.
Well, let's talk about that, because right now, you know, I'm like I said, there's a lot of paradigms right now that, you know, that we are discovering as a people, as you know, as divine beings that we have been held hostage under. And so once again, you know, like, I'm just so grateful that you are here to talk about a paradigm. But what I really want to talk about is you as a remarkable human being that you are, which is, what was step one for you? Like, what was the first, like, let's go to where, you know, you've gotten this, you're off of the pills, and you're now standing in a space where you're like, I have no family, I have no job, but I have my life, and I have myself and my truth. And, you know, truth is meant to be shared regardless of what anyone else thinks about it. But your truth is meant to be shared. So what was that like for you? Like, what, where do you go there?
Okay. The reason why I'm laughing and having a little mental breakdown here is because I'm not really having a breakdown, but it's because I've been on a rampage, like a healing rampage. And part of my healing is like getting all this crap out of me.
Good.
And publicly saying like the names of the people and organizations who hurt me.
Good for you.
I'm not going to like be punished for being victimized. Good. I don't care how righteous and lofty and like woke and like left-wing, politically correct, like amazing activists that people are. Yeah, I'm also a left-wing kick-ass activist for the people and leading a revolution and liberation.
Right.
And I'm not going to be embraced for my beauty by that. I'm just going to call it out. So
there you go.
Like how I am, don't buy my book.
That's right.
Or I made it easy for you to Google me because this is legit.
Absolutely.
So the answer to your question is going to be given to you in a poem.
Perfect.
The first time I prayed, I was also naked. This is my poetry book, it's bilingual. The first time I prayed, I was also naked. Something was wrong. It was a brain injury. Something that not everyone knows about me is that even in the midst of my absolute crazy, I'm still cute as fucking pie. Did you know one person's crazy is another person's paradise? I was a vulnerable 41-year-old man, so of course I was naked because I'm also cute. On the inside, I thought I had every reason to die. There was also a reason why I stayed alive. So it's not so strange that I was naked the first time I prayed. For 6 years, I've tried to pray every day. Thanks, and have a great day.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
The reason why the last sentence is thanks and have a great day is because before I stopped taking the pills, I had no capacity to have a spiritual connection or to feel anything. I was just like nothing. Wow. I was nothing. I wasn't a person. I wasn't.
Wow. Yeah.
And so life was chaos, and I had all these awarenesses and these connections, and I went through this burning down. My brain went through a burning down. I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking I was covered in spiders and snakes, and I would start hitting things, and my cat would get scared and I'd run around the house, and I was like obsessed with the Holocaust. My family's Jewish, and I was definitely without question abused because of the Holocaust and the kind of things. And I started living through this stuff inside of my head, like Holocaust scenes. And I thought, go on YouTube and watch Holocaust videos for hours, and like, this is not normal, but like, this is what's happening. And like, I went through this burning down, and ultimately That winter of 2016, so it became 2016, I was clearly having what we now know is a spiritual awakening.
Right,
But
right.
they call that mental, you know what? I don't use that
Right.
ILL word. My friend said,
Right.
you should go back on the meds. See, you're sick. I said, no, you don't understand.
No.
Yeah. So the reason why I say this poem, the reason why it says thanks and have a great day, is because the first time I prayed, I was naked, and the person who was with me at that time was trying to guide me toward spirituality because I was a mess. And so
Amazing.
while we were laying there naked, I swear, and I did my little prayer. I was like, dear God, whatever I said. And then I said, thanks and have a great day. She's like, that's the cutest thing. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But that's what I did. And the thing that's so remarkable about this that you'll appreciate, and I think in regards to what you shared about your partner as well, prior to that incident, so I went off the pills in May of 2015. I lost my job due to very unfortunate and despicable circumstances. And then I went to Europe to start my new career, training mental health workers around the world, and I'm giving my speeches places. And so I flew to Riga, Latvia, for this conference called the European Conference on Mental Health. And so, first time I went to Europe, I went to Latvia, and we did this huge conference and did an event to the community as well. And then we went to a sauna, and in that sauna, again, we were naked, of course, because that's what you do in Europe. The heat released the neurotoxins from my fat cells. I became sick, and in that moment, I developed like a brain injury while in Europe. And so I got back, and everyone noticed there's something wrong, and they kept saying, "You should go back on the meds. You must be sick." I was like, "No." And that is where like this like strange awareness that like has become really part of my reality. My third eye has been opened up, and like everything makes sense. You know what? You can't hide from me. Like I see what's going on. I'm way beyond most perceptions. And so that when I said thanks and have a great day, that was the first time I ever like actively prayed as an adult. I was like, okay, I did my thing. I was making thanks and have a great day. And that was it. That was my first moment. Spirituality was the answer to your question.
That's that awakening process often comes, and I just keep, as you know, as you're speaking and you say so many things that just correlates back to, so this is such a great moment for me because it lends me to be able to also understand my wife more. You know, my wife is very adamant about not being on medications at this point. It's almost like it scares her to death, and that's what ended up happening. She was just a shell. She couldn't feel anything, and now she's within her great awakening, and she's the same. Like I hear, you know, things like you're saying, let this happen, you know, like let this happen. And man, like
I'm not saying that one way to heal is better than
True, true,
another,
true.
but sometimes if you hear me speak and I slur my words a little bit, that's because of the drugs they gave me, even though it's been 7 years later. So maybe it's valid that there are multiple paths toward healing,
Absolutely.
and maybe what they say is how it should be might not be for everybody.
Amen.
There's a
Gosh,
lot
you
of
said it.
thank you, and there's a lot of fear in a system to have
Yes.
someone like me be able to speak from both sides of the coin
Yeah.
with the truth. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I'm
True.
saying you have options,
Yeah.
and just because someone has an MD behind their name or something else doesn't mean they know what's right for you. And
Absolutely.
frankly, most people know what's right for them, and the doctor's job or whomever is to help you figure that out, not to tell you what to do or how to do it. And frankly, I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Absolutely.
So maybe you want to listen to people who actually have lived it. You might say, yeah, do what you think is right. Get the best information possible about those pills.
Yes.
Whatever. You want to do that? That's your path. Be smart. You want to go that path? Be smart. Be informed.
Yes. Yes. What
You're
a
the
great
boss of
word.
you.
That's right. What a great word, be informed, because, you know, I think that is, there's just a blind trust there. And until you get to the place where you're willing to back out of that trust and trust the divinity within you to guide you through That's you're exactly right. That's what you listen to. That's what you listen to.
You see this right here? It's
Yes.
the Cruz de Pericón. It's made of the Pericón flower. It smells beautiful. And they here in my in this region that of Mexico that I live in, it's a very indigenous, strong region. So the traditions go back 500, 800 longer years. So all these just came, all these flowers were just blossomed, I guess, 1.5 months ago. So in the entire state I live in, everyone has these on their houses because it's part of the ancient tradition here. And I have this one here just to hold, and it's to protect from evil spirits.
Wow.
And people might say that's crazy, but I'm going to believe the Aztec people who have provided this safe haven for me to live in, as opposed to people back north of the border, back in Massachusetts, who actually think that like there's something wrong with you for like being healthy, for
Yeah.
choosing to take care of your needs, to respect yourself, to invest in your mental health care. But not necessarily doing it your way, because maybe
Yeah.
your way was wrong. Maybe my way is better. Maybe someone else's way is better. So that's why it's not crazy to say this is protecting me from evil spirits and going on my
Absolutely.
door too. Because you know what? I'm going to believe these people. People who
Yeah.
know what they're talking about before those pills and shit ever existed.
Well, you have an open door to the truth of, the truth of a lot of things. And when we tell the truth, sometimes that cuts the paycheck of those that want to convince us that something is the truth. You and I, we're completely honest with each other and with the paradigms that we're stuck under. And I see a lot of people coming alive. And I think what you truly are, what you're representing is I can't even pick a right word to call you. I think you're so far ahead of the game that people haven't caught up yet. And
Oh,
that's where
my
you are.
friend, they fucking hate me. I
Of
can't
course
admit
they
that.
do.
Yeah, my God.
Of course.
I've become like, I have a very special friend in my life, and she's like, I have my name in Spanish is Gregorio. My nickname in Spanish is Goyo, but like my name is my actual name here is Gregorio, but in English is Craig. She calls me all three sometimes, so I guess depending on if I'm being well behaved or not. She's like, Goyo, you're so pinche arrogant. You're so fucking arrogant. I was like, yeah, of course. You can't like survive in a world where people are trying to choke you out. Like, it's like not just like yeah, I've had some bad people try to bother me, but like bad people don't bother me. Like, I like bad people. Bad and good's just a value. People don't know what they're
That's
talking
it.
about. But like what
That's
our society says bad people are, it's
it.
like they're not bothering me. I'm not bothered by criminals and like drug dealers and like violent people. No, I'm bothered by the good guys.
Yeah,
The
yeah.
good guys don't like me. So
Right.
if the good guys don't like me and I don't want to be a bad guy and like there's nowhere else to go because I'm already on the bottom, well, I'm gonna smile and take the beatings or take the punishment for smiling and being happy and not giving a fuck about what the system and the society has to say about like my health when they created me. If you didn't want me to tell the truth, I shouldn't say this right now because it's easy to hire someone to come out and be shot. You better not. I'll fight back. I might still get shot, but I'll fight back. Like you should have killed me when you had the chance. What the fuck? And it's too late. I've put my story in print. You'll never be able to erase the truth. It doesn't matter who wants me to be shut up. It doesn't matter if I died in the next 10 minutes. I don't want to. But if it happens, so what? Okay? Today, this weekend, is the Day of the Dead Festival. Last night, one of the men I know in the town who's very well respected, with his huge sombrero and his face painted, in the middle of the street where we're all dancing to a band, he gave me a handshake. He pulled me in for a hug and he said, Buena muerte. He said, Happy death. So I'm good, and so part of me being good is telling the truth about what happened to me. But not just what happened to me, because fuck what happened to me. There are people right now and around the world who are being hurt, who have
Yes.
been disempowered. I mean, just in the
Yes.
country you live in, I live south of the border, thank the heavens. You
I
have
bet.
a massive movement of oppression, of violence, of hatred. It's everywhere for
Yes.
you guys. It's not like that here. We have our own problems. But that's sickness. That is sickness, and anybody living in that environment is going to be affected. And
Absolutely.
so I don't want to be the bad guy, and the good guys don't like me. So that's why this exists. I you know what
I
I did,
love
my friend? This is an arrogant, like really like obnoxious thing to do. I was like, you know what? Most people don't know the name Craig Lewis, so they go, "What an asshole." But then some people do, and they're like, "What an asshole." Then other people are like, "That guy's fucking smart. He's a jerk." But I made it easy. Like, I thought, my parents hate me. They want me dead. I got the death threats from these people. All this crazy shit. Like, but just in case you want to find out what's going on, it's like, I don't know, it's like $14.99. Just Google it. You too can know this magic. And if you're just a voyeur, because I know that I have lots of voyeurs, just if you want to know the secrets.
Yeah. I love this because I open up to one of the pages and I think that you've got so like to me, these workbooks can go with you at every level of the recovery rediscovery process. Because in this in this space, it's not specific for addictions and substance use. Like, recovery is a healing process. And I think, so I like the page here, you've got number 19 in the Surviving the Impossible, is how to make sense of when someone tells you that you need to love yourself. And what I love about this book, man, is it's so, I love about it, all of them, is because it's so easy. Like, it's really simple. So over here you've got, you know, a breakdown and then a worksheet. How genius is that? You know, like, you're not overloading with information, you know, and asking someone who's in the midst of this to read 100 pages and then do a workshop. This is quick, and then you're in it. I mean, I just believe that it's just genius. I love working on these things, you know?
I love you. This is great. I'm so happy. Can we do this right now? Can we do this passage and worksheet together?
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
All right.
Right
now.
How about
I'm going to read the title, and then we're going to go, then you'll read the first sentence, and then I'll read the second, third, and we'll go to the bottom, and then we'll do the questions together.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so this is page 18 from the Craig Lewis Guide to Surviving the Impossible.
All right.
I'm just being myself here.
I love it. Be yourself here. Be yourself. I wouldn't want you to be anything else.
Listen. Everyone in my town knows that I wear my sunglasses at night, and I can't tell you how hard it is for me to not have my sunglasses on because I can't stand like not having them on. But I'm trying my best here. So
hey,
here
you
we
be
go.
You, man.
But how to make sense of when someone tells you that you need to love yourself more.
All right, it's me. For all the hurt kids I know in adult forms, the ones who didn't have the chance to learn love in healthy ways, you are not alone.
We are many. We are so many.
My heart has been shattered countless times.
And I have broken endless hearts.
I don't know how I am alive much of the time. So if you are reading this and you know what I am talking about, I want you to know that you are great and worthy. And no matter what happened to you, and no matter how you responded, you can cry it out today, tomorrow, next week, or right now.
All I know is that I have no more time to spend being hurt.
My choice is to choose love in every moment, for any other option risks my heart beating its last beat, for humans can only bear so much pain. Whew. Amen.
We are so many, and you are so worthy.
I am worthy of being loved.
Say it out loud. I'm worthy of being
worthy
loved.
Of being loved. Yes. We are so many, and you are so worthy. Man. Gosh, that just hits, man. One page, that hits everything.
This book. Pretty much the entire book was written while I was homeless in Europe.
Wow.
Yeah, because I spent a year homeless in Europe, because why would I spend a year almost in Massachusetts. Like,
Wow,
when I could spend a
right.
year almost in Europe.
Hey,
Yeah.
I love them. I love
Yeah,
it.
so I wrote this throughout my journey of living in, well, I lived in France for 3 months and the Netherlands and Kosovo for 3 weeks, in Ukraine for 2 weeks, in Romania, Bulgaria. I went through Serbia, everywhere you can imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, so
Wow.
Poland. So, yeah, I went on my
What an
journey, and
adventure.
that's what happened. Yeah, okay,
What
so,
an adventure.
well, I did have a good time. You know, I was talking to my friend today. He took me to lunch, and I said to him, because he's from Massachusetts, he knows a lot about my story of how we met, actually, because of my story. How we met a lot. I told him I met a lot of my people, my friends now, and
That's awesome.
we talked about. I said to him, I really need to be grateful because if all those things didn't happen to me, I'd be in Massachusetts right now. You know, I just want to say I love where I come from. I love Massachusetts. I miss it with all my heart. And what happened to me there was disgusting, and I deserve better. I'm worthy of dignity. And so, although I don't support and want global warming to come anytime soon, if it does come soon and Massachusetts gets swallowed up, my life will be better. So thanks for letting me have that 2 minutes to share
Hey,
a very
thank.
un-PC. I've already been canceled, so good luck. I'm doing pretty good for a canceled person.
All right, right.
Yeah.
Cancel culture is part of the paradigm. It's part of the sickness. It's part of the hate. Yeah, I got some. Yeah, we could probably talk for hours on that.
Yeah,
So,
most of the
but.
people I love and are close with have been just brutalized by the society. Yeah,
Yeah,
I can
I'm
see
with
my
you.
smile. I'm like laughing at you, not you, but like
I
whatever. Like when I say you, I'm laughing at the
get it.
society.
I get it. I get it, man. I get it.
All right, Rev.
Let's do it.
When
All
you
right.
hear those words, love yourself. What does that mean to you, and how does it make you feel?
I'm gonna answer it in this moment. Love myself to me, what it means to me is to accept my truth. Like, what is my truth? Discover and accept my truth. And how does it make me feel? Scared as fuck and liberated at the same time.
That's what's up. And every single person out there has a story deep
Everyone.
within them. It's not the story you're telling everybody. Like, if
Yes.
you're a recovery person, like doing what we do, there's a story that you're not telling everybody, and that's the story that's making you, well, I want to
Absolutely.
say it, the story that's making you sick.
Yep. That's what it is. That's what it is.
I guess the point about this is that you don't need to be afraid. Because if the hammer's going to come down, if you're going to be pay the consequences for telling your truth, you're going to pay the consequences for saying what happened to you, and someone tries to kill you. I'm talking first experience. If someone tries to ruin you, destroy you, erase you, what's the point of not finding out if you're going to survive? Because what kind of life are you living holding that stuff inside? And if you're holding that
Yeah.
stuff inside, you're going to get cancer. You're going to get liver
Amen.
disease. You're going to get
Yes.
mental problems. You're going to become someone who's addicted to substances of all sorts. Why not just like take the fucking beating that's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to get fucking, excuse my language. You're going to get
Either
hurt.
way.
You're going to
Either
get
way.
hurt if you come out with your truth.
Yeah,
Someone's going to
either
try to
way.
get you, but you're going to survive. Most of us, well, most of us will. Be smart and strong. You're going to survive the hellstorm that comes from telling your truth. You will.
Yeah.
And it's worth it because it's better to pay the consequences. And I say I lost everything, but it got me, right? So that's it.
Yes.
It's better to
Yes.
pay the consequences to tell them the truth
Yeah.
and become a little bit of a whack job because I know that I am. Like everybody who knows me knows I went a little off the deep end, but I'm a guy who went off the deep end that like sells thousands of copies of books about helping people help themselves. So
Yeah.
maybe that's all the evidence you need to have about what it about the benefit of paying the price for being free.
Yes. I love that you said that there, because my entire substance addiction, you know, and everything that happened from there was a part of me denying my truth. Part of me denying that abuse. Part of me denying, you know, the gender identity. Part of me denying, it was everything I was doing to turn my back on myself. And the more I turn around and walk towards myself, the more liberated I become. And, you know, the fear comes because of societal paradigms, because of that. So what you just said was liberating.
Listen, I love trans people, because it's really fucking hard to you know better than me, right? Excuse me. But it's really fucking hard to be trapped inside yourself. But I know it what is. It means to be, I know what it means
you
to
do.
Be trapped inside yourself.
I know.
And because of that, I actually have a lot of people in my life who are trans or who are struggling. And what a blessing it is to be able to connect with people who are treated like often the worst people in society, but who did nothing wrong at all. And I relate with that. That's why I like to be that's why I like to use my privilege to fight. I mean, I'm serious. I actually get, not that I want to get into fights, but like,
I know what you mean.
If you don't stand up for people who are being abused and being oppressed and being marginalized and being bullied, you know, you could be next.
Yeah,
the chopping block ain't so far for lots of reasons, right?
Ooh, so you're telling the truth.
You know, what's the point of being alive?
You're telling
having,
the truth.
Having man. Nice things, if you're gonna like have a neighbor or a person in the street who doesn't get that same opportunity. So, look, I have a therapist, right? Well, I have two therapists. I need help sometimes. I know it.
I do too, man. I do too. With you. I need two. It takes an army for me.
I told one of them recently, we were talking about the fact that I don't have a death wish, but I'd love to. But if I'm gonna die, it's gonna be in a blaze of glory, like doing the craziest shit possible. Because like, if you want to know, if anyone out there is wondering how to really turn me on, this shit works for me. Don't do it because it's bad. Don't put yourself in this situation. But if you really want to like turn me on, I see a burning building or a burning car, or I see like someone being attacked in the street. That for me, that's my shit right there. Like, oh yeah, no way. No, I'm not walking by this. No, I don't want the fucking cameras on me. This is not about you or YouTube or TikTok. Fuck off. I'm not making a video here. And so let's just say the police in this town know me. You know, it's crazy being a crazy gringo who can barely speak Spanish properly. Like getting to altercations that are physical on the street with like kids that you definitely wouldn't mess with. But here's the funny thing about all that. Since that all happened, because it is part of who I am deep inside within, based on my entire life experience, to not look the other way. So I have gotten into several incidences and the police know me. They know me. Of course they know me. Now all the kids or the guys who I've had issues with, some of them been arrested, one went to jail, I got my cell phone stolen, I was punched in public, I sprayed in my face, every one of those guys, every single one of them gives me respect. I give them respect. We're cut from the same like abusive past. And so they viewed me as some sort of rich gringo because they didn't understand. They made a mistake. And I handled it because I stood up for myself, right? But now those guys can do their things, right? But they no problem with me. I actually kind of like them because they're hurt. The guys who were just abused and like rejected and like shit on by the society. So they became how they became. I just like them.
Yeah.
So because I stand up for what I believe in, and sometimes I got hurt doing so, I became safer in this town because the street kids know me.
Because we know each other, because we all really are one. And the closer you get to divinity, the closer you understand that we really are one. And I really love going back to what you said about, you know, being locked inside of yourself and how, you know, trans people are transitioning. You know, like a good friend of mine, Martin John Garcia, always says, is like trans people are doing their work and everybody can see it. He said, I can be going through a transition of different things inside of me and I can still lie, but a transgender person is doing their work and escaping their own prison and people can see it. And it reminded me, and I have such great respect for that, and it reminds me of what you just said just a little while ago about that, you know, that you too are transitioning in ways from your own prison of being locked inside of yourself. And so many people are, and if they aren't, they need to, because we're trapped by the paradigms of society. We're trapped by what success is. We're trapped by those things. And at some point you got to just say, drop the fucking bullshit. And who am I as a divine being?
And here's two responses. One is like appropriate, one is less appropriate, or well, both of them are not appropriate. I'm going to say my piece. Here's part of why I am. Let me say it this way: there's a woman in my life who knows me well. Mm. She said to me a while ago, she said, "Why didn't you turn into a hateful, misogynist, toxic woman hater after what your mother did to you?" What happened to me was that when they gave me that diagnosis of schizophrenia, and now we now know the whole thing was a fraud, and they threatened the psychiatrist to diagnose me, and he did it. He knew he changed his own documentation. He changed his own documentation under threat. I grew breasts from age 15 to 17 and a half, and
because of the medication.
Yeah. That I took for a condition I never had. That was right. I was locked in a facility, so I grew breasts. And that was when I had my first sexual experience forced upon me by a woman. I was impotent because the drugs had breasts, and I was constipated because of the pills. And the only sexual connections I had with anybody up until that point was with women putting things in my rear end, including my mom. So while I had breasts, the whole thing is disgusting. Okay. So I had surgery in 1991 to have them removed, and well, apparently I was all better after that, because apparently they just removed it. It never happened. So you can appreciate a little bit what I'm talking about right there. I have a little bit of an understanding of the devastation that can happen to a person when they're in their body that they don't write about. The second thing is a little more fun, but actually way more inappropriate. All those people, the politicians, and I know your accent, you're from the South.
Yes, sir.
You have a particularly maddening, hateful group of people saying all sorts of terrible things about people like yourself who just kind of like be themselves. Yeah. So this is going to be, I hope this isn't too offensive, but here's one thing about them. They have the worst sex lives. I mean, can you imagine how bad is your like intimate like experiences, your sexuality with your I'm a woman and I'm a man, like how miserable are you, like that you have to spend your time like caring about what other people do in their own houses, caring about what their bodies are like under their clothing? Like, are you that sick? And that's the answer. They're that sick.
Yeah.
So to all my trans friends out there, and all the LGBTQ people that I love and respect, for just being yourself. Actually, let's say this again. There's no need to give you respect. It's something you should be. It's for every human being deserves the same respect. You should, right. You shouldn't have to be like, let me be special and give you respect. No, but in this context, all respect to y'all. No one deserves to be treated badly. We all deserve to be treated well. Be whoever you are. I'm sorry that society is cruel. Love yourself and give your love to the people who give it back to you, and anyone who tries to hurt you or take away what you care about and who you are, fight back. And if something happens to you, I'm sorry, but it's better than being treated like shit. And stand up and like own yourself, own who you are. And just, I know it's not easy for you guys.
Beautiful.
I know it's not easy, because I know this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, very heartfelt and very beautiful, and I appreciate you. And you also said something a little earlier that I think is so fucking true, that you know it goes it has to be like highlighted, because what you said is that when people are trying to govern the bodies of others, that does not just fall over to them. Eventually, that will come back to you. This is the test. We'll use marginalized communities like women and trans people and trans children to test how far we can go. But don't think for one second that it's not coming for you next. And, people fail to realize that when they listen to the bullshit that's coming out, So you're quite remarkable, sir.
Thanks. Thank you. I also want to say that I also think I understand a little bit about the mentality of people who are engaging in the sickness of hatred. And I really reject the completely delusional status quo concept that racism is not actually really one of the only things I would call a mental illness. I think the whole idea that people give this make this differentiation between all the other screwed up things the person does, but then when they're racist, oh, that's not sick. They're just a bad person. Then give yourself, you guys all get down off the pedestal for a second, because it's a double standard that somehow like the white people who are like the allies of everyone else. You're not really allies. You're opportunists. Some of you are good people, but get off the fucking pedestal and realize that people who are like fascist and racist and all this terrible stuff, that they're that way for a reason. Why don't you take and spend time like understanding why that is, instead of fighting with the results? Because
That's
if you fight with the
exactly right.
results, you ain't gonna have any progress in that. You're gonna cause more and more problems. But if you actually get to the core of why that's happening,
Yes.
then you're gonna realize that those people, they actually have been manipulated. They've been
Yes.
forced into lesser quality educations by their white dominating senators, et cetera, like in Kentucky, for example, so that you don't get educated, so that your educational your knowledge is limited, so you're not easily pliable, and that's really what's going on. So we all have to give everyone a little bit of break. I do not.
All
I
of us.
reject all the hatred of all forms, but you can reject it all you want, but if you don't, also engage and trying to understand it and then doing something about it, you're part of the problem. And that's in part much love. I'm a leftist, way farther than this liberal nonsense you guys call back home. I actually effing around here, but get yourself checked, because you're not helping anybody by being part of the problem. You're
Yeah,
just
you're
causing the
right on.
problem by what you're doing.
You're right on.
Help understand what's going on and do something about it using your brain and your heart.
You're right on. You're right on. I often tell the story of having to leave my, in my early transition, I had to just leave my transgender support group because the amount of resentment and hate that was happening. And I realized we're a room full of hurting people. But we're hurting each other when someone doesn't say the right thing, or all the pressure that I felt. And I just thought there's a better way that we can all come together as human beings. It's not reacting to hate with hate. It is an understanding of how really celebrate our differences at the same time as we recognize our sameness, because that's what all we are. Inside of us, we are the same, man. We got the same liver, we got the same hearts, and yet we could sell it. We were made so special, and when we talk about divinity, we were made like that on purpose. It's not like, I don't understand how people don't see and celebrate each other's difference, but you're so right, because they also have gone through immense trauma of being lied to and conditioned to be afraid of people that are different than them, and there's so much we can learn from each other.
You know what? You might not know this back in the States, but Mexico is an LGBTQ friendly country.
I've heard.
And my town is like lesbian, gay, central, and trans people exist in public all throughout Mexico. It's in Latin America as well. And I know we have lots of problems with feminicide, and women don't have it easy. With that said, we respect that that they don't have it easy, and it's terrible for them. But that said, there's an LGBTQ awareness and acceptance here. And relationship dynamics are interesting as well, because it's extremely common. Like, you can't really escape seeing it all the time, that there are these relationships being formed that appear to be, and it's what's happening, two guys and a girl all in a relationship together. You'll see it all the time, always walking down the street together. Two guys who clearly are with each other, and then the girl who's with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I see it every weekend with the tourist, every weekend. It's remarkable. It's really unusual to know that that's how it is here. And back north of the border, it's so different. I believe it's so different.
Oh, man. So different. So different. It's amazing.
Town. You and your partner come here. You'll have a great time.
Well, we have to. We really do have to, because I've heard this about Mexico, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it if you're not there and you can't see it. And you know, it's hard right now for all of us here in the States that are just watching all of this happen, you know. And I feel like it's because, and I'd love to hear your opinion about this or your belief system about it. I do believe that humanity is going into a different sort of awakening type of a process, and things honestly get so ridiculous that you cannot see, you can't not see what's really happening. I don't know, and maybe that's just me, but I don't know.
Yeah, we are experiencing a social sundown. Mm. A social sundown.
Mm.
And Mexico is 20 years behind you guys. So things are alive here.
Mm.
But what you're describing, I think, is like the slow setting of the final sun of the reality that you all know.
Yes.
And that's terrifying for everybody. So it makes everybody fight each other.
Mm.
That's what they want. That's what they want. That's how that's how they control you.
That's right. Keep us divided.
And the weird thing about all this is that, you know, you have a big white majority of people, and they're saying that they're being oppressed. But guess what? They are part of the greater oppression, because they're just being used to oppress. So, but when you are used to oppress others, you're actually being oppressed yourself.
Yes.
It's filtered out in a different way because you have the power.
Mm.
It reminds me of, like, I'm Jewish, right? And like in the concentration camps, they would find the strongest of the men to kind of be the Jewish police, the capos. Mm-hmm. And you could refuse the Nazis and they'd kill you maybe right away, or you could receive the little pittances of a benefit that you might get because you're doing their work for them.
Mm.
So like some of those guys who survived ended up in living in Israel after the Holocaust, and survivors from the camps would see them. And those guys didn't choose to be taken to Auschwitz or whatever in a train car. Didn't choose all that. Didn't choose to be selected to be capos, you know. Didn't choose to be selected to work for the Nazis for a little extra something. And they didn't choose to, like, they couldn't choose anything. Just what happened. They don't have a choice. So they ended up in the streets of Tel Aviv. And, you know, they said the guys who were working for the Nazis, because they had no choice, they survived. And then the people they abused, the ones who survived, they see them on the street. That's a bad situation. How do you deal with that? And they were attacked and beaten. Now, Frank, that's what happens when you hurt other people. Was it their fault? Should they have been beaten? They probably live with the guilt for the rest of their lives.
Correct.
Even if they weren't, you know, punished for what they did, but that happened. And so you should all be very careful about your actions and who you cross on the way up when you're stopping others, because you have no idea who you're going to face when you're coming down. And you are going
down.
That
is the truth.
Everyone.
That is the truth.
Is going to go down in some way because of something, no matter what you look like, no matter what religion you have, no matter what gender or body parts or not or anything. You're all going to face a consequence for the collective acceptance of ignorance, which is your entire foundation of your society. Now, with that said, during the pandemic, you guys had a very bad experience. Here in Mexico, it was bad, Mexican people that survived crisis and natural disaster and corruption and CAREL for as long, can't say that, for a very long time. So they have to just pick themselves up because they don't have a safety net socialist government like you do back in the States, which is actually a good thing if you're going to have a government. You might as well have it be a socialist government to help people. But they just helped each other here. People just, all the stores stayed open in the street. Everyone was taking care of each other. We all fell apart. Why is that?
That's amazing.
Answer that question for yourselves, then you realize why when you're on your way up, you better be careful who you step on because you might find those people
That's
on the
true.
way down. Because those people might be the ones who know how to light fires for the food, or might have been the people who can cut down the wood for to heat your house, or they might be
That's
the
so
people
true.
who have a safe place you need, or where they have a well.
That's so true.
The convenience of your life is actually a bane of your potential existence, or is a
Yes.
potential bane of your existence.
Mm.
This is fun. I'm glad
It
I could
is
talk.
fun.
Yeah, you're cool. I don't like everybody in this world. Sorry.
I'm with this.
Yeah, you know, some people just
I'm
aren't my
with
kind of
you.
people. And the thing about, if I may, something
Yeah.
that, I know you're trans. I don't give a fuck. But I know that people who are trans go through shit that other people don't. It's a naturally comfortable thing for me. Like, I do interviews with all sorts of people, like cis man, I guess, gay cis man, and like the whole spectrum of every gender. But if I really want to have a conversation with somebody, you better be fucked up in some way. Okay? Like, I want fucked up people in my life, and I don't care how much you've risen up from the ashes. If you're not still fucked up, then we're probably not going to get along well.
Right. I feel you, man. I really, really do. And it's freeing to have a conversation with someone else that I feel like really, really, I don't even know if the word gets it is even enough, but you know, I resonate with so much that you say and talk about. And you know, of course, I, you know, we there's no sense in us like, you know, comparing like trauma. What we do though is we sit here in a space where we've been through some shit, and we can have a conversation about what we see in an honest and safe space and love each other, you know, just to love each other. Just to love each other to love each other, man.
Respect.
That's
Now,
it.
with that said, can we have an actual comparison right now? Not a trauma comparison. I get a question
Right.
for you,
Yeah.
because we have some things in common, like
We
character-wise
do.
and shit. I don't know about you, but I am one of the most difficult people. I am very. How are you on the difficulty scale? Like, really, he's super difficult. I can't stand him, but he's okay. Or he's not. Like, where are you on that scale? I'm like a 10. I'm from 1 to 10. I'm a 9.5.
I would have to be somewhere around at least 7.5. But if you were to ask my wife, she would probably say I was about 8.5,
Yeah, so everyone out there watching, the purpose of this exercise is that just so you all know, if you want to interview me or Rev LC, just come at us with a little bit of a, how do you say it, from je ne sais quoi, a little bit of a, just be smooth, you know, just let the rough spots just go, because the truth about this guy right here, they're the only people who are my real friends. I smile like this because I'm a bit of an arrogant jerk, because I have to be to love myself. It's okay, but this is how I win. I win by saying the things you're not supposed to say. So I just threw out what I was gonna say. Give me a second. Oh my God! See, now that's what you get for being arrogant, right? Oh shit!
I don't think you're arrogant,
I was gonna say that. Well, I don't know, something like, anyone who's my friend to this day, if you survive the unplanned, unintended,
Mm.
and without your willingness, vetting process of being Gregorio Craig Lewis's friend, If you're still my, if you're my friend right now, we're cool, and you already survived some sort of bullshit with me, some sort of like, oh shit, he's crazy kind of shit, then we're solid. I don't fuck around at all. I will say this, like, I am the most tolerant person. Like, you can screw me a whole bunch of times, and if I can, like, see inside you, just so you know, I can.
I feel you.
Yeah. Anyone looking at me right now, I know. I'm going to give people the break if they screw up. My tolerance level for bullshit is massive. I give people multiple chances. Like, I understand the human condition is flawed. Nobody can know how to be if you don't know how to be. If you're taught the wrong way, you're taught sickness or dysfunction, you have to learn the right way. I'm not going to condemn you and, like, slander you or something because you did one or two or eight fucked up things. Right. As long as you're trying, then I respect that. Here's the difference, and this is what earlier in the discussion I said. I say whatever I want now about whoever I want because those people hurt me, and part of my healing is saying it. So, yeah. I'm going to say exactly what I need to say, and if it comes out arrogant or anything, deal with it. But my freedom was number one. My healing was number one. And if you made it through all this with me, and you're still here tomorrow, then we're good.
I love that, then, man. I love that. I love that. In fact, the world needs more of that because I am with you. I give people, you know, like I just see, you see that you have to see the human condition and to understand yourself. And I think, and I believe that comes from understanding yourself in your own human condition, that you can see it in others. And you are a man that seems very in touch with, you know, with you, with you. I think that's an amazing thing.
Listen, I fucking love myself.
Good.
I have to. If you don't love yourself, then ain't no one else going to be able to love you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Also, just to be clear, I know you said at the beginning of your podcast that you accept all forms of recovery. So I'm a super ultra mega pothead. And I was prescribed cannabis by a doctor to help me heal from the brain injury that I sustained from the psych meds. So add that to the list of my big, the society doesn't want to hear about my mental health recovery story. But check this out. If you don't get out from you what's hurting you, if you don't tell your truth, if you don't speak your reality, and if you don't go over the top in your quest for healing, for self-love, for a better life, then you ain't gonna have what you're worthy of. And for the people who have hurt me, and there are many, I know I'm a little bit, you know, extra, I'm a little bit much. I know. Believe me, I have to live with this guy like every day, 24/7. So when I say that I am like the most tolerant person out there, well, one of them, I am. When you cross a certain line and it has to do with my basic life stability, my sense of safety, the safety of those I love, my animal friends, or you try to like hurt me financially or something like this, you have to understand that I'm a really nice person. Like, I love everybody. And I'm willing to like work with y'all, but if you cross that line with me, the same like beautiful, spiritual, loving like person who's like, I know, oozing with love right here, right? The same person will fucking do what he needs to do to protect himself. And when you're a survivor like I am, you survive. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, be nice to people who you don't know anything about, or if you heard something bad about me or anybody. You should really find out the facts, because you might be trying to do something righteous because you're some righteous fucking activist. You're probably doing something really bad.
Yeah.
Because as you all know, in every social group, every microcosm of our society, there are members in those communities who are not well. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way the world is right now, look at leadership of countries, you will recognize some similar things happening. In countries that are more oppressive than others, causing more problems than others, you might notice that their leaders possess certain personality traits And it's a predominant trait throughout leadership throughout the world in those positions. They get to those positions by crushing others who actually are like me. So watch yourself when you hurt other people, because you might be doing it for very illicit reasons, and you might be getting yourself into a pit that you never intended to. I know my mistakes. I know all the things I've done. No need to tell me the fucked up things I've done. I have it square in the center of my mind, and I walk this earth with an intention to make good of the bad, and to transform the evil into beauty, and to take my own misdeeds and hurts of others to make amends and do right. So if I'm going to survive all that I did, and others like me, like you described earlier in your own transgender support groups, sometimes you're going to be surrounded by people like you who aren't going to treat you well.
Amen.
You got to be careful who you align yourself with, because not everyone's trying to help you. And some people just want to take advantage of you. Whether you're trans, or you're LGBTQ, or you're African American, or you're a survivor of psychiatry, or like whatever you are, there's going to be people in your very community who, just because you have something in common with them, doesn't mean they're good people. Doesn't mean they're going to be friends. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can trust them. And if you give yourself enough breathing room to know the difference, to take the time to look inside somebody and love them for who they are, because they're going through something that you know about, to love them because you recognize their pain as a person who's experiencing something similar, beautiful. But also look for the things that might make you feel uneasy, because they're going to exist. Yeah. You're going to notice. If you don't make the right decision, you're going to have what happened to me happen to you. I didn't become homeless, leave the United States, move to Mexico, after having written all these successful books, selling tens of thousands of copies, becoming a keynote speaker at U.S. government-sponsored conferences, because I did something bad. I ended up here because I did something good. Mm. I told the truth for our people, for people who mattered. So that's the story, guys. And whatever you are, whatever you want to call yourself, whoever you want to be, anything, be careful, because not everyone's nice. But a lot of nice people out there, so look for them too, because you connect with the right people, like my friend here.
That's right.
How it works. Camera.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Gosh, man, I'm so grateful I've spent this time with you, and your books truly represent your soul, your journey, your heart. Everybody, I will, in the description box of this video, you will have the direct links to every one of these books. You will be hooked up with the Sanity as a full-time job, and you will be able to get everything that Gregorio has ever written and is putting out there. And I just know as much wisdom and beauty and amazingness that's inside of you, there will be more. So get hooked up. Get hooked up with this man.
That book you have in your hand, the original peer support guy, can I see it?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't have a copy of my own book, because I just never had one sent to me here in Mexico. It looks good, doesn't it?
It looks great. I love it.
Here's a secret.
I love it.
Did you notice anything between this and that?
Yes, in fact, that there is a lot of some of the same, some of the kind of, like, I don't know if it's, I don't even know what the word is, but it's almost like the themes. It's a great themed book.
You're gonna love this. Okay, first of all, the name. Look at the name of the book. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's outrageous, right? The name. They always say your name should be, the name of the book should be short. It's like, no, I'm doing it my way. That book, my friend, is the now published volume 2.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Written at the very same time that this was written, during the internship and volunteering.
Gosh. You during that internship and volunteering, man, it just seems to me that you were already kind of ahead of your time in how necessary this information is for us right now, especially.
I've always been this way. Excuse me for interrupting. I've always this way. This has been the thing my whole life. I was born this way. Lady Gaga, if you're listening, I know I don't fit your criteria for mental health recovery, but I was born this way, lady.
I believe that. I believe you were born this way. You were born for this. And I'm grateful that you had the courage to take back your own life, free yourself from an unwanted prison, and that you have the ability to share your heart and your mind and your genius and your wisdom with the world. You're changing lives.
For our beautiful conversation. This is my Kindle from last year's Christmas, because I don't celebrate Christmas because it's always a terrible day for me. Because when you're Jewish and you have some parents, like, it's the worst of the worst. But I made a little Christmas thing for myself last year, and this is the remaining Kindle that the cats haven't destroyed. I have a cat zoo. Let me show you something. Okay. This right here, is a mole empanada. If you know what mole is, it's a
peanut butter chicken
sauce.
Okay.
You can have chicken. You can have mole sauce with chicken or anything like that.
Okay.
But this is just an empanada with a mole in it, and it's so good. You can't get that back in Boston.
You certainly can't.
And this right here, it's called a Tlaxcalis. It's a sweet triangle little treat. But here in this region, we also have another triangle food called an itacate, which is like this. Itacate in Spanish means to go, but it goes back in 500 years. It's like basically Aztec street food. So we have itacates that look like this, but they're bigger. And I was walking back to my house about 2 hours ago. I saw the lady in the street that sells the mole empanadas, so I bought one because they're delicious, right? And I saw her at the little restaurant store. I walked in there. I was like, what do you guys sell in Spanish, whatever I said. What do you guys sell in here? I said, oh. He said, mini itacates. I was like, no. It's like tlaxcalis. It's new dulce. It's very sweet. I was like, ah. Sweet, peachy gringo. I said, I'm a stupid gringo. I said, see. But then I said, you know what? I also know that tlaxcalis come in different forms. And they said, chingon. He's like, super cool. Like, yes, yes. I am a stupid gringo sometimes, but I'm a fucking cool gringo. Because I know all this shit.
I love that.
All right, listen.
I love that.
I want to say that I'm very grateful for this conversation. Mexico is a beautiful place with lots of problems. Mexico salvó mi vida. Mexico saved my life. Mm. I'm loyal to all the people in this world who gave me a chance, who helped me. I absolutely want to wreck the people who hurt me. I know that's maybe not appropriate, but how could you hurt somebody who has survived like the kind of child abuse that I did, like no education? I'm a white Jewish kid with a ninth grade education. So ask yourself, like, what's this all about, you know? And I've always been this special, unique person, and I've always had to deal with being bullied. I'm usually not bullied by the poor people. I'm not bullied by the marginalized people. I'm not bullied by black people. I'm not bullied by gay people. I'm not bullied by trans people. I'm not bullied by Latino people. I'm not bullied by immigrants. I'm not bullied by people without papers. I'm bullied by people who look like me, who have education and status and money and family support. So I have a lot of people in my life who are the marginalized people. I love you people, and I'm so grateful to be with you. I know what I look like. I'm fucking like really fucking cute. I can't believe it. How did this happen? I mean, look at the picture on the back cover of Better Days.
I know. I love it.
This guy we call these in underground circles a pill whore. Except I wasn't doing that by choice. I was given those drugs to make me sick. And now look at this. Look at the difference.
Okay. I know. And look at this picture. Look. This is a healthy guy. This is a healthier guy right here.
So there's a story about that photo. That photo was taken right here, outside my window, outside my door, in my house. My house was painted Rosa Mexicana, Mexican pink. Like, you know, you're thinking of a Mexican pink house? That's actually the color is special. It's called Rosa Mexicana. My house is Rosa Mexicana. And so when that photo was taken, there's about 10 photos that were taken at that session, but we also had a previous session that was horrible. I looked terrible. And so this is the second session. And during this second session, a special friend of mine was here, lovely woman. And when this specific photo on the back cover was taken, the instructions from the, I instructed it because I'm like a dom from the bottom catechist, excuse me. I handled the situation, right? And I said, I'm going to smile at the beautiful woman. And so she was like doing a beautiful dance, like smiling at me. And that's when that photo was taken. And that's I had bought those flowers from an abuela, like an old lady, selling them in the center. So that's the story. That photo isn't just not a good photo. That photo is code that says to somebody, you're loved, we got this, and this book's going to help make everything great in our life. So for anyone out there who buys that book, that photo is special. It's for a reason. It's for the reason of healing and recovery and doing good in the world. So anyone who buys that, can you hold it up, please, the book?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Anyone who orders this book, I swear, with God as my witness, that book does good. I can't even tell you. I'm not going to because I can't. That book does good. Every single time, that book does good. Thank you.
Outstanding. I'm outstanding.
I know you probably shouldn't be like this, say, I'm fucking serious, but hey, spirituality takes all forms.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Plenty of time in the Christ Bible study, eating fried chicken and pizza back in Salem, Massachusetts, when my own people wanted to like get rid of me. So I'm good with Jesus. I'm good with Buddha. I'm good with Muhammad. I'm good with the Jewish God. I'm Jewish. I don't know what they call him, Moses or something. I'm good with all of you. You're all very good people in the world. You're just human beings. Became given these special titles and written books about. But whatever your religion is, I don't care. Be a good person. Walk a spiritual path. Fuck religion, excuse me, Rev Curry.
That's definitely the whole the Rev is definitely not a religious. I'm a spiritualist, and I am with you on all of that.
Excuse me, my friend just showed up. He's just gonna join our interview. He said hi. Okay, that means it's time. The concert is about to begin.
All right, brother. I appreciate you.
I
appreciate you.
He told me yesterday, he said that I was the most famous person he knows. And I said, the big difference between, I said, estoy infame. No estoy famoso. I said, I'm infamous. It's super different.
It's way different.
Than famous. Like, I'm like, well, if I was famous, I think my life would be that much worse. It's really much better, like, not being liked by everybody. I was just that guy. Yeah, that's the great. He always says, yeah, everyone's wondering. Sometimes you don't talk. You walk around wearing black all day. Everyone knows you're in a bad mood or something. But then you seem happy. Everyone's happy to see you.
That's great.
Really, my life in Mexico was absurd and awesome. And I'm so grateful.
It is. Well, I'm so grateful for you, man. Have the best time ever.
Hold on. Go ahead.
No, I will list all of these books, everyone, in there. I will make sure to put a direct link to this one right here so we can do good in the world. I'm grateful I got my copy. Y'all go get your copy.
Sanity is a full-time job.
Amen.
.org.
Amen.
/collections/books/ whatever you want. Sanity is a full-time job. .org. Now me and my homie are going to walk 2 minutes up the road where they're having a huge concert. And our friends who... arrived here right before the pandemic. I arrived here 8 months or 7 months before the pandemic. But when the pandemic hit, the town we live in, we live in a special zone. The town was closed off by the soldiers because the indigenous people said, no more tourists because we don't want to get sick. So we were locked in here. You could either, you couldn't get in and out without papers, and I didn't have them at the time. So I met a lot of friends just hanging out in the center. We all had to support each other.
Awesome.
We're all isolated, and I didn't speak the language. I still just don't speak it well. So we're gonna go right now see one of our really good friends, Alejandra, play her rock original in front of about 100 people on the street. We're gonna dance and be
that
happy
sounds
and
amazing.
Give her respect and support our friends. That's what we're gonna
That's
do right
amazing.
Now. Right
That's now. Amazing. Well, have fun. Be careful and take my spirit with you. I want to be there to congratulate her as well. Thank you, my brother.
I'm going to take a couple photos to send to you in a bit from the church. The church is right where I'm going to show you. You're going to love it. If you
Do
want,
it.
You can share the photos because it's right now it's a
Perfect.
combination of Day of the Dead and the old Catholic crap.
Oh,
And
yes.
right
Send
now we're
me.
gonna go do it. I will.
Yes, send those. Send those. All right, my brother. Love you. Thank you. Have an amazing time. And I'll talk with you soon, all right?
Thank
Bye,
you.
brother. Bye.
Ah, true healing begins within.
That's
Joey.
right. That's right. That's right. Love you, man. See you soon.
Peace.
Bye. That was Gregorio Lewis, and that was a sincerely amazing episode with him. You know, I love meeting human beings that are living and operating within their truth. And so many times we tend to meet people's mask or their identity first. And the one thing that I really, really love about Gregorio and this entire interview is that we got to meet and see Gregorio, the human being, the divine expression of God in human form that is Gregorio Lewis. So I urge you to make sure that you pick up these books. Remember, this one is very special, the original Peer Support Recovery and Coping Skills Workbook and Curriculum. And I want to tell you, I've been working in this book. I'm not a certified peer support specialist, and you don't have to let that label scare you away from this getting this book, because this book is actually so amazing in just helping you work through things, physical health challenges, overcoming dread, you know, when good things happen. And it's all the same theme. There is a short but very powerful set of information right into you know, questions that are just about that. So if you're like me and you really get down with healing and getting to know yourself, then these books are awesome and you will thoroughly enjoy them. I'm so grateful to have a new friend, Gregorio. I'm so grateful for every one of you all, and I want to thank you so very much for being here, spending this time with me and Gregorio. And if you spent all of this time and you've made it to the end of the video, I also want to give you a special and amazing gift. You can go to hypnobreakthrough.com. Tell them that you are a recovery soul food listener. You can also tell them that you saw us live on Recovery Revolution Live Facebook page, and you will get an amazing gift of a free full session of hypnotherapy. And now let me just tell you what a huge gift this is. Not only do you get the free consultation and the 15-minute consultation session, but you get a full free session done by Ms. Pamela Topjian, who is absolutely operating within just one of her divine gifts when she is doing hypnotherapy. And let me just let you know this. It's not the dog and pony show that maybe you see in Magicians or you've seen in Vegas. This is one of the most amazing ways to calm your conscious mind and speak directly to your subconscious. Now, what we know about the subconscious is it is the consciousness that is deeper and is operating your programs. And it's usually programmed by our repetitive thoughts. And so when we want to change our lives, we have to change. For true change to happen, we have to change that at the subconscious level. So I love you. I thank you, and I appreciate you for being here with this show. We'll see you next time. What's up, Soul Warriors? This is your host, Reverend LC. This is a bonus episode of Season 4's Recovery Soul Food Podcast. We had a lot of trouble getting this episode actually to come into being. And so please remember that it is completely unedited, completely raw. But it's an amazing conversation with a man that I think highly of, Mr. Craig Gregorio Lewis. He is an amazing author and speaker and just an all-around amazing human being. So remember, once again, this is completely unedited. We had a lot of technical difficulties trying to get this episode out. So here is your bonus episode, Season 4 of the Recovery Soul Food Podcast, with me, Reverend LC, and our guest, Gregorio Lewis. And this is How to Have Better Days. Enjoy.